Okay.
I want you to declare with me, say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I just want to thank you.
I just want to thank you.
That I have eyes that see.
That I have eyes that see.
And ears that hear.
And ears that hear.
And my heart is perceiving.
And my heart is perceiving.
Your plan for me.
Your plan for me.
Amen.
Recognizing how God works with each and every one of us, it's through mercy and grace. It's not through legalism. And on Friday morning at 3:56 a.m., he had me up, and we were on a journey. I want to remind you that he takes us in different times and different places, and I'm just going to give you a little bit of my notes from that morning. So I wrote down, I'm celebrating your grace to me again for this new day. I quoted John 13, verse 3. So if you have your Bible, you can go to John 13. But I'm just going to read to you what I wrote down, because it was impacting me to awaken me to the times and purposes of our lives. And he quotes, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and were returning to God. I thought it would be wise to recognize the word new, knowledge. Jesus had knowledge that the Father had done this, okay? And he was returning to God. Now, it goes on about the foot washing, and I don't want to go there. I just want to quote to you what the word says from verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world. He knew it. There were times that in different individuals that I've ministered to over the years, that you have knowledge that God is about to do something. And probably for me, one of the most dramatics was my own dad. When God began to show me that it was time for him to go home, I gave him an argument. I didn't want my father to go home. It wasn't my time. I didn't like the idea. I got angry. I got dancing around like a spoiled brat. You know, I just gave him a song and a dance. Okay? It's not going to happen. I'm going to stop it. Well, obviously, that wasn't a very good idea. I had to get a new mindset because the deterioration of his body continued. So I quote, the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Verse 3, very important. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. So therefore, could Jesus have stopped Judas? Yeah. All power had been given to him. It relates to what I'm sharing with you this morning when I see someone doing the bad choices and I want to kick their butt to wake them up. Not a good idea, because again, their free will is at stake and God's going to respect it. And if I don't, I'm out of order. So I gave you that piece to the puzzle. Okay. And that he had come from God. So Jesus knew he had come from God, and and was returning to God. I'm going to skip over to give you a few confirmations of that word. Because again, sometimes we think we know a little bit about what Jesus is or who we think he is. But in recognition about who Jesus is, his heavenly origin is important. In John 3:31, the one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. So what's my purpose here in pressing in John 3:31? A quality respect is required from each of us. If someone decides to stay in bondage, that's their decision. If they decide that they can't do something and they already declared it, it's like the woman who had a flu for 3 weeks every year in October. It happened. Because why? She was prophesying it. And if she could not hear herself until Holy Spirit got in there, who do you think you are to be the savior of those that like the idea of being sick for 3 weeks? See, your words, your thoughts, important. Are they coming from heaven? Or are they coming from your natural abilities and your carnality and the earthly realm? John 6:38. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Who sent you into this realm? Was it the enemy? Absolutely not. You came from your father. He's got a plan for you. He wrote it in a book. It is yours and my job to read that scroll and ask God, who am I? What am I here for? What's my purpose for being in the realm of this earth now? Why couldn't I come 100 years ago when everything was calm and cool and holy in a church where everybody was comfy? Now we've got upside down stuff. Crappy garbage, lies of deception. Why? Because it was his plan to make you and me a light for this season. Oh, that was a perfect opportunity for an amen. Amen. You're all asleep. Okay, John 6:38. John 8:23. But he continued, you are from below. Oh, so you've got some people that are from below? Yes. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. We declared earlier, we are new creations. How much of my time is wasted thinking that this world is going to be affecting my future? It will if you listen to it. John 8:42. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now I am here. I have not come to do my own, but I have not come on my own. He sent me. Oh. Well, are you going to compare yourself to Jesus? You're darn right I am. I am a new creation under his anointing. Yes or no? Again, John 8:42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. There are some people that love you. That shows you where they're from. There are some that can't stand you. That shows you the anointing that's on them. Are the ones that love you needing prayer? Yeah. But how about the one that can't stand your guts? Well, you just might be the light that they can't stand. Okay? Yeah. If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and now am here. I have not come of my own, but he sent me. Are you ready for the next one? John 16:30. Now, we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. Now, those are the 12. And they are saying that they're finally catching on. All right? So now, I don't want you to pick on yourself, because if you're starting to catch on about who Jesus really is, that's pretty good, because they were with him day in and day out for 3.5 years. And they were finally having their ability to discern and recognizing who he was. 1 Corinthians 15 is probably going to be a little bit more uncomfortable. 1 Corinthians 15:47. The first man of dust, of the dust of the earth. Oh. And the second man from heaven. Well, I just learned this week that obviously there's going to be an awful lot of people going to church, and they're going to be sprinkled with dust, because that's the new rules of the Roman church. Of course, I teased my wife, because I said to her, you know, Matthew, our great grandson, he's 6. He has a Nerf gun. So you could use 6 feet away, shoot the Nerf gun, you'd be all set. And my wife started to laugh. I said, you see, there's a solution for every problem. And of course, that wasn't very funny, but she got the message. I said, they're going to sprinkle you with dust to remind you that you're made out of dust. John, in a past couple of weeks, showed us from his discernment of the things in the realm of the spirit that we probably would be the size of the head of a eraser on top of a pencil if we really were to really look at the breakup of our body and bring it back down to molecules, et cetera, et cetera. And he would give you a beautiful teaching on that. But that's not my gift. All I know is being sprinkled is not my thing. And even when they would anoint us, as I was part of that church, at one point the Lord said, well, are you going for ashes? And I said, well, and it was a very, very big thing. I mean, you know, you're going to start Lent. You definitely had to have some ashes. And it was a proud thing. Everybody who had ashes were really, really cool. So I said, nope. I'm not going. I said, I lost that when I was born again. I'm a new creation, and I'm a spirit man living in an earth suit. So there's no way in hell that you're going to put dust on me. Well, now that brought a real war. Well, you're not a real Christian. Well, is my grandson idea of a Nerf gun shooting dust at you going to make you a Christian? Or the priest sprinkling it on top of you because they can't touch you. Hear me when I say this. Has anything changed in the religious realm? Jesus was trying to tell them, some of you are coming from your father, the devil. And some of you are listening. And do they have an awareness of who they are and what they are? No. They're not conscious of the revelation that you and I have. And it's not about you and me picking on them because they made a free will decision. So the first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. Did Jesus refer to Adam as a man of dust? Yeah. He chose dust over his spiritual qualities. He rejected his spiritual qualities, and he went back and chose the enemy to actually satisfy whatever was tempting him. So the second man came to undo what the first one made a mess of. And you and I, when we say Jesus take over, he's really saying, you're no longer of the dust. If you want to remind yourself that you're of the dust, I'm not judging those who are still there, because there was a season in my life that that's where I lived. I'm not picking on them. All I can tell you is there's a lot of deception still left in me. There's a lot of corners that are still foggy in me. Has God finished? No. Has he an ability to download the next level? Ah. See, that's where you and I have an ability to mature and grow in our walk with God. And I'll quote some of you as you were sharing earlier. I don't know what's happened, but I see the change in myself. Because you gave God the ability to change you. You permitted him to begin a work in you. And you're not trying to do it out of legalism. The more you trust him to turn things around in you, and how you act and react is really a compliment to the Holy Spirit that is fully working in each of us. So what am I trying to say here? I'm trying to make you aware that Jesus was saying to his disciples, he knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So now, when you and I declare, I have come from God, and my time here is done, and I'm returning to God, am I going to die? No. You will never taste death. You will transition from this realm to the other in a matter of seconds. And you won't even know what happened, except you're going to be on an adventure. And your adventure is going to be awesome, because all of heaven rejoices when you come home. All of heaven rejoices. Now you say, well, I'm not ready. Praise God, neither am I. But what I can say is, when he says, come on now, I'm taking you home, which some of you have had people go home in the past few months, years, and some of it is still very tender. Some of them are gone for a long time, and it's still tender. Give the Lord the opportunity to continue healing you. Because again, the timing of their departure was not about you. It was not about when they left. It was about their work being completed. When their job was completed, Holy Spirit took them to the other side, where there would be joy everlasting and awaiting for us. Yes, awaiting for us. This morning, I'm in the shower. Anybody know the Holy Spirit can invade the shower? So I'm hearing. And there's a shower gel on one of the shelves. And somebody gave it to me a while back. And immediately when I saw it, I've got that picture of that person. And I said, Lord, not in the shower. But, well, come on now, guys. Jeez. We are human, you know. And there's some dust left on me. So anyway, I said, Lord, this is not funny. He said, I just remind you, you're never alone. I remind you, you are never alone. I remind you, you are never alone. That's what you told your sister. Jesus is with you. She said, all righty, I know. Cut it out. I've had enough. Probably, you know. So when the Holy Spirit begins a work in us, and he lets us know that there's a season and a time that you're in this realm, and what he's wanting to complete in this realm for each of us, it is a lot sweeter for us to just rest with his plan than it is to try to tell him how to do it. I bring back the reality of my dad going home. And when it was very close, you see, someone asked me the other day, why the gifts of the Holy Spirit? And I wanted to explain something that I said, the gifts of the Spirit are not for you. They're for others. But that's not totally true. The gifts of the Spirit are for you as well as others, depending on the situation. And I've shared with you more than once that when my dad was getting close to going home, his body was deteriorating. The pain was not good. The doctor had given us what he knew, and we were very grateful. And Friday afternoon, before I would go to work at Grace Church, I would stop and spend some time with him. And on that particular day, even talking about it brings back a lot of the emotions. But my dad was sitting in his living room on his recliner. And Holy Spirit said to me, you need to anoint your dad. So in order to be eye level with him, I knelt down in front of him. And I said, I'd like to anoint your dad. And he says, I've been waiting. Because he was always a teaser. And I put the oil on his forehead and my spirit man took off. And literally, I went into the heavens and I began to sing in the spirit. And it was all in French because my dad's native tongue was in French. And I was describing things of heaven. And as that continued, it was like my emotions were bursting open at the seams. And as they were bursting open, I began to weep. I couldn't stop crying. And my father was saying, don't stop. I want more. Don't stop. I want more. And my soul was so strong at that time. Or I should say in control at that time. That I couldn't. I would go back and I would say a couple of words in tongues, and that's as far as I could go. And he gave me a hug that day. That was the last hug I got. But you see, why did God deposit his spirit in me? It was not just for me. It was for my dad. When mom went home, it was totally different. It was just his peace flooding me. But when dad went home, I was a different person. The progress that he made in me made a change. Why am I saying this to you? Because he's changing all of us. That's his purpose, to change every single one of us from what we were to what we need to become. So I give all the glory and all the praise to the Lord that his perfect plan will unfold. When it's time for you to leave this realm, you will be prepared by him. But it will depend on your willingness to let him download into you and me everything he's prepared for you, everything he's made ready for you. So you're not going anywhere until he says you're coming home. Until then, don't be selfish. The gifts of the Spirit that are in you are not all about you. They're about those that you are to serve. They're about those that you are to bless. And it's about those who you want to heal. Because some of them need healing more than you do. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Would you lift one hand to the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, prepare me. Prepare me for the next few days and weeks. Years ahead, you will prepare me. When I cross over, it'll be great because I will be a part of the new creation that is all about what God wants. He has given me this gift of grace and favor so that I will complete my mission. In Jesus' name I pray. And for those that are already on the other side, we welcome them today to participate with us because of their love for us and our love for them. Amen. And amen.